Welcome to GoToGal, episode number 128. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and today's episode is something I don't normally get to talk to guests about. I'm really excited about this conversation today, and I'll tell you why. Now, you know those, let's call them gurus, you know those online marketing gurus, these people that are making millions of dollars a year from their digital courses, online businesses, and maybe it's in a podcast interview, maybe it's in a blog post or whatever context, but I feel like those people always get asked, if you were to start over, what would you do? And they tell us, and it's interesting, it's like, okay, if I was to start over, I would do this. But the thing is, I don't know if it's just me, it's probably not just me, which is why I'm sharing this with you. When someone shares that, it's like, And listen, I'm sure I have shared advice like this too. Like if I was going to do it again, if I was going to start over, because it is interesting to think about and there's always something there you can take from it. But the reality is the situation is different. So when someone is saying that, you always have to filter it through, okay, but things are different now than they were when you started, or that they are because now you have this established audience. So even if you were going to start over, you already had this audience and all of these different variables, right? So we have to take that advice with a grain of salt of like, okay, well, that's interesting. And I like, you know, hearing your strategy on that or your viewpoint, but there's only so much weight you can give it because they're not starting over. They're not actually doing it, right? They don't have that experience in the here and now. They can only imagine it, right? Well, here's the thing. Today's guest, my friend Molly Kaiser, who's joining us today, she is living this out. So Molly had a multi-million dollar online education business, an online course, bringing in $2 million a year from that course. And she got rid of it and she's starting over in a completely different niche with a completely different audience. She is literally living out this question of, okay, you have built this up and now you're saying goodbye to it and you're starting completely over from scratch with no audience. And what would you do? And that is what she's here to talk to us about today. Now, Molly has become a good friend of mine. We're in a mastermind together, and I have had a front row seat for her making this transition, and she's blown my damn mind. So I am so excited to be able to share her story with you, but also her simple, implementable, brilliantly strategic strategies that you can go and literally just do as soon as you're done listening to this. Molly shares it all with us today and gives so many actionable tips. So if you do not have your notes app ready or a pen, you may want to come back and re-listen to this one if you know what I mean. There are so many just actionable takeaways here that you can literally go implement. And I encourage you to do so because that's when the results happen. I will say from getting to know Molly and from seeing her in this transition and having such fast results and growth, she is a master implementer. And we get into that a little bit in this too. She has laser focus. I so admire her focus. I have not been able to have that level of focus. Even with as my business is like, okay, we're all going in this direction. I've never just been all in on one offer like she is before. You'll hear us talk about this. And I don't know if I'll ever be down to one offer, but she definitely encourages me or inspires me, I should say, to simplify things. How simplified her business model is also really fascinating to me. So all reasons why she is here and I needed to share her and her strategies with you. So get ready to take some notes, get ready to implement because that's when the magic happens. And let me give you her bio, a little bit more about Molly before we dive into the conversation. A college dropout with just 81 cents, Molly grew her photo studio to multiple six figures and others were asking, how did she do it? She turned her steps into a profitable online course, grew her online education company to $2 million a year, and was able to help thousands of photographers around the world in the process. More recently, she felt a pull to serve on a larger level and now helps service-based business owners add a profitable online course to their business so they can scale without trading more of their time for dollars. Without further ado, here is Molly. Molly, so excited to have you here today.
Yay, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. All right. Before we dive into you and what you are up to now, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
I love this. back in, let's say, middle school, I was known as the matchmaker. I would matchmake my friends. And yeah. Why I'm not a matchmaker now, I don't know. Lost calling, I guess.
Middle school love. I love it. How did those matches play out?
Oh, so good. I mean, everyone from middle school is now married. Just kidding.
I was gonna, like they were together at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, they were together for like 5 days. They held hands. It was a scandal.
Oh, middle school romances. Too funny. Okay, so fast forward to today. You are not a matchmaker. Oh, tell us, what do you do and who do you help?
Awesome. Yeah. So I originally got started, I dropped out of college and started a photo studio and grew that to 6 figures. And then I started doing online education for photographers. And we grew that company, helped thousands of photographers all around the world. And now, more recently today, I am known for helping service-based entrepreneurs to add on a profitable online course to their business. They can scale it and create something that's not just more trading more of their time for dollars.
Ooh, and I know that's such a big thing in our industry right now. So I cannot wait to get to pick your brain today on how you do that. And hearing like that snapshot of everything you do now and what you did, I'd love to dive in a little bit more of just your journey, because it is so fascinating to me. And I know will be to our listeners too. So you started off as a photographer. How did you make the shift, or what inspired you to shift into the online world?
Good question.
Go from the doing to the teaching, right?
Yeah,
it's like that flip.
Question. Yeah. So, okay. So just so we're all clear here, building my studio was super, super hard. And like I said, I started as a college dropout. I remember clearly checking my bank account. I had like 81 cents in my bank account. So over those years though, I want to say like scratched my way to the top of having like this successful photo studio. You know, we would do things like get furniture for sets from Goodwill. And so anyway, I just want to inspire you guys that if you don't have that money to like do it, you can still make it work. But yeah, so basically we built this studio, and I found myself, you know, where I was able to, I hired a second shooter and I hired a studio manager, and we were doing like 10 shoots a week. And there really wasn't a whole lot more where we could grow from there without adding like an additional studio or like branching out in that respect. And that just wasn't really appealing to me, because I knew that would be more of my time to like start the next studio and do like hire, you know, and do all the work. So I've always been a big fan of having a lot of time. I love running my business, but you know, I like to sleep in, I like to go on bike rides, I like to not have like a packed schedule, which, yeah, anyway, so basically, I remember I took a class on how to edit online, like an online course on how to edit. And I remember thinking to myself, why can't I do something like this? And a lot of photographers were coming to me asking me like, how did you build this successful studio? I want to pay for a day of your time. So I did that a few times, and I realized I'm again trading my time for money doing coaching. So when I took this course online, I thought, why not take the same stuff I'm teaching these girls on our one-to-one, our one-day coaching, and make that into a course? Because I was just repeating myself over and over and over to each coaching client. So honestly, I dove right into it, and it was great. I should say this. I took a little bit of time to sort of build my audience first. I started out, this was back in 2012, I started out blogging. So that was sort of like my channel I chose at the time, because blogging was super big then. And so by the time that we actually launched our first course, we already had built up a significant following and email list. I do have new strategies you can do if you don't have an audience, but for me, that's the strategy I did first.
I'm definitely going to ask you about that, but we're going to come back to
sure.
that later. Note to self, ask Molly more about that in a few minutes. Okay. So then you started doing it. Now, At one point you had 2 online businesses.
Yes.
Well, how long how did that come about?
This is a great question. Okay. So had my photo studio, added on a course, right? And I built that course to, I don't know, like mid 6 figures at the time. So I had my studio and I had my course. And this is not advice you should take, by the way, guys. This is like a lesson. I guess this is advice in terms of lesson learned, but not advice in terms of you should replicate this, because you should not. So this is what I thought at the time. And again, this is just me thinking I know what to do when I should have asked somebody who's done it before. That's a thing. You can write that one down. But basically I was like, well, I've grown 2 6-figure businesses, so I should grow a 3rd 6-figure business. Like, I don't know why my brain thought, let's create more instead of just bigger.
Well, I think a lot of people think this, though, because we're told millionaires have 7 income streams, right?
The 7 streams. That's why, I bet. Yeah.
I bet. And I see this all the time. And that's, I'm also true, multi-passionate and have ADD. So I also want to start like all the businesses. So I can relate to that feeling of like, let's start another thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, I don't know, it is popular to think that way. But yes. Okay. So tell us why we shouldn't.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I think it's too, because we're creatives. And so we like to create like new things. True. But I will say this. So I signed up for like one of those high-end masterminds that everyone talks about, you know, and one of the best pieces of advice I got at this mastermind was, instead of creating more businesses, you should just focus on one business and take it further. And so I closed my studio, and Jacqueline said, I had 2 businesses at the time. I had my studio and I had 2 online education businesses. So I had 3 actually. So I decided, this mentor was like, pick one business. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pick my photo education business. So I closed my studio and I closed my, actually had like an online marketing business. And I focused just solely on the photo education business. And we were able, with that advice, we had at the time over 100 products. So with closing those other 2 businesses, we also retired all of those products and just went all in on one product. So like, that's a massive reduction in stress and focus. Like, you know, now I can focus more on one thing. And so we were able to go in 2 years from 0 to $2 million with this just one product. And I've never been able to create anything like that when I had multiple businesses and multiple offers. And it just gave me a new perspective that, and I'm not saying you should always have one offer forever, but I think once you get that to like 1 or 2 million, that's when you should start adding on, you know, new things like new offerings. And obviously everyone can do it their own way, but that's just like personally what has worked best for me.
Yes. Okay. So from wherever you were to 2 million.
Zero because we closed everything. So we didn't have any income coming in from those products, because the products were eBooks. They weren't like payment plans or anything like that.
Gotcha. So. Gotcha.
Because if we had just closed it would have been 0.
Massive growth. Okay. So what did that, I know that there's a lot of people listening right now that are like, oh my goodness, I want that. Oh, so tell us what that looked like and where you are with that business right now. I think that.
Yeah, sure. So here's another shift for you guys. So it felt like to me pretty, well, actually it didn't feel to me. Other people were saying to me, like, it's really explosive growth. To me, it felt so slow, because we all are like, I want to be a multimillionaire in 5 minutes. You know what I mean? We're all just a bunch of impatient entrepreneurs, but that's why we're the go-to gals, because we go and we want to do it quickly. But if you would have asked me a year ago if I would think that I wouldn't have that business right now, I would be shocked. But the real truth of the matter is, ever since I closed that internet marketing business that I had, that education business, because both of those were doing very, really well and I had to choose one. And ever since I closed that down, I've always had that feeling of like, I missed that business and like, maybe that's the one I should have chose. Like, I don't know. It was so hard. And so I've always had that little thing nagging inside of me. And then also when COVID hit in when was that, February or March? So since our business serviced service-based entrepreneurs, photographers, and they weren't allowed to take photo shoots anymore, our business took a massive hit in terms of like relevancy almost. It's kind of like our course was to help photographers get clients, but you know, why would they want to spend, you know, $5,000 on a course to help them get clients when they can't legally take customers? So that, you know, did I know that that was coming? Heck no, obviously none of us did. But I was like, okay, well, I'm faced with the decision. I can either weather the storm, or maybe this is sort of a sign and a way for me to go back to that passion that I've kind of been missing. And you know, we've helped so many photographers. It was so hard to close that down and to say goodbye. And I love all of my students so much. But I'm so proud of what we did. I mean, we did it for 6 years, that business, and we've helped so many photographers. So, we ended up, in case you guys are curious how we transitioned, we basically, I found another mentor that I trust very much, who's in my same space. And I basically said, hey, I'm going to let you have my Facebook groups. And then she said, well, okay, I'll offer your current students like 6 months free of my membership. So we sort of allowed my students to transition over to her if they wanted to. It wasn't like forcing them to by any means. It was just sort of like, well, I'm leaving and I was your mentor. So, cause a lot of them were like, oh my God, I don't know who to get advice from now. So I just didn't want to leave them stranded. And so, yeah, that's kind of how we transitioned. And with the new business, we were able in our first 30 days, we were able to create our product and, promote it. I don't like really to do like launches. I like to sell ongoing all the time, but we were able to do just under 20,000 cash collected in our first month with only $500 in expenses. So if you are somebody who's been thinking of pivoting, I'm not saying you have to by any means, but if it's been on your heart and your mind, just know that, you know, you're never going to unlearn what you've learned previously. That's what you always get to take with you. You might not get to take the followers if it's something specific, but you know, you can take that knowledge and that confidence, knowing that if you start something new, you can have success quickly with it. Because I mean, we didn't even have a following for this business at all. We started like totally at zero. So
yes, which is why I have loved like having a front row seat to this shift. And you, this is a totally different market for those people that are like, well, you had an email, let's do this. But those are not your clients for this
no,
new or your customers.
Any of the emails, none of those, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So the $1 million question, or the $2 million question is, oh, so how are you able to do this? What do you attribute being able to make this shift? And with only $500 in expenses that first month, be able to bring in $20,000. And like you said, this isn't a launch. So like you're able to now continue yeah. making money. It's not like, oh, we had this launch and now we can't launch again for another however many months.
Yeah, totally. Oh man, I wish. Yeah. Yeah. This is so good. Like I wish when I was first starting, I could have heard somebody talk on something like this. but yeah, so basically since we had grown our business before, I will say it's a lot easier when you know what to do, because I remember when I first started my other education business, I was like, just always working all the time, like constantly, because I didn't yet know what was going to stick and what was going to work. And so with this new business, we were able to come up with like a super clear plan. For the first month, we only worked 3 hours for 4 days a week. So we wanted to make it really, we wanted to make sure we didn't end up working a whole bunch like we were previously and really be, you know, strategic about building it around our lifestyle. So how we did it, the $1 million question, is our strategy was this, and we executed it and it worked, which is awesome. So our strategy was to quickly build an audience because we did not have one. So I think in my opinion, the fastest way to grow an audience right now at the time of recording this video is through a Facebook group. And I should say this, the fastest way to grow an audience for free is with a Facebook group, because obviously you can dump a bunch of money into ads and build an email list with an opt-in. That's great. But if you want to start it with, you know, zero money, down, then a Facebook group is great. So what I did was I basically created this group, and number one, I titled it with having a search engine in mind, because that's actually how I would say 30 to 40% of the people in the group found the Facebook group, was just simply searching. So I titled it How to Create a Profitable Online Course with Molly. That way, if people are searching in Facebook, how to create a profitable online course, it's crazy. Like, I personally never use Facebook to search, so but you would be shocked at how many people do. So that's like kind of the first method. And then the second thing is I recommend adding 50 to 100 people from your friends list that are like a good fit for that group. Most people I would say nowadays would have like at least 50 people that they could add to that group. That's going to give you a huge boost. And then, so you got to get really clear on your ideal client before you can add those people. And then the last way is I made a timeline photo for my personal Facebook profile. That was a little bit of an ad for our group. It just said like, join our group here, you know? And then what I did was I went into other Facebook groups online that I knew had our ideal customers. And very clear here, guys, I was not promoting anything. I wasn't like, come join my group. Like, I did not do any of that. Okay. So all I did in these other groups was I added value. So I would post just pure value, no call to action, no promotion, nothing. That's one way. The other way is I would find threads that were really like hot threads, and I would go in there and share like a really good value bomb. And here's the cool thing. No, again, no promo, no call to action, nothing. When people like what you have to say, and they're like, wow, this is a good value bomb, they're gonna actually hover over your Facebook name on the comment. And then what pops up is that timeline that talks about my group. So, and we got like at least 100 people in the first month from that method. And then we got 300 other people from the other methods.
Okay. So you had 400 people in this group. And then... and you converted 20 of them into the course.
I will say this. At the time that we launched our first round of members, we had only 200 people in the group. And then we had, I think it was 150 on the email list. Because in the group, I try to push people to the email list. And yeah, that's how we got our original first 20 members. And the first 10.
Those are some really good conversion numbers.
Yeah, the first 10 were at $9.97, pay in full, no payment plans, and the remaining were $19.97, pay in full, no payment plans. So I think that's important too, because a lot of people will say like, I had a $60,000 launch, and then I'm like, okay, well, what's your cash collected? And they're like, well, $10,000. But the rest of the payment plans will come in. I'm like, okay, well, what's your payment plans? And they're like, $99 a month for 12 months. I'm like, okay, well, not all of those people are going to finish paying. So we just have to kind of, you know, Aaron calls that marketer math. So we just kind of.
Marketer math.
Aaron's my husband, by the way. But.
And he is the we, right? When you say we, it is the two of you who are.
We're co-owners.
But I'm not going to say he's silent, but like even your group, like it's with Molly. It's not with Molly and Aaron.
I asked him, I said, hey, since this is a new business and we're co-owners, I was like, do you want to be the face of the company with me? And he was like, no, he's very, him and I are like opposites. And that's why we work so well. He's like, I get energy from talking on podcasts like this. For him, it like takes away, like he's like exhausted. Like he's an introvert.
Yes. Well, they do say introverts and extroverts, you know, go well together. So,
somebody else like listen to me gab all day.
Good team. Yes. Okay. I have so many questions for you. So where do we go from here? Now, you mentioned Facebook groups is one of the best ways to grow an audience. In terms of leveraging social media, should we just focus on Facebook groups, or are there other things that maybe are better for different types of businesses or people, or looking at social media as a whole? What do you recommend?
Yeah. So there's obviously a lot of different channels. And I think what's important is to think about your ideal customer, think about your niche, and ask yourself, where are these people? So chances are you have people on Facebook. I mean, Facebook is a massive, massive audience, and Facebook owns Instagram. But sit down and think about it, because let's say you have, oh my gosh, what even is that social media called? The one that was like Instagram stories that Instagram.
Snapchat.
Yeah. Okay. I've never did Snapchat. So
me either.
I'm an old millennial. You can laugh at me. Does Snapchat
elder
still exist?
Millennial? I think. Is the yeah. official name
I'm
now.
An elder millennial.
I'm an elder millennial too.
That was such a good Netflix special.
So good.
So yeah, basically if you are, let's say you're a photographer who photographs like senior pictures for high schoolers, like maybe Snapchat is where you should be. You know what I mean? Or like TikTok, for example, which I know 30% of people on TikTok are over 30, but you get the picture. What I'm saying is you don't need to be on every single channel, nor should you be. And I think what's difficult about that is I know myself, when I first started, I was like, well, Gary Vee is on every single social media. And, you know, I don't know, so-and-so is on every, like big name guru insert here is on every single channel. They are now, but I guarantee you they did not start out on every single channel. I have friends that they didn't start doing YouTube or like specific channels until they were at $12 million a year. Like I know people that have literally just built multi-million dollar companies from only Facebook. Like with our last business to 2 million, that was solely with Facebook group ads, email list. I basically did virtually zero Instagram, like no YouTube, like nothing, because that's where our audience was. So my point here is this, don't get overwhelmed thinking you have to be on every single channel. Because if you look back to when we first started our education business for photographers, I told you guys it started out with blogging, right? Now, blogging might not be the best thing for you now, unless you're like, I don't know, a recipe blog or something like that. But the thing with blogging was I wasn't on every channel. I only had a blog. I released a blog every single week on the dot, same day, same time. I was consistent. And that is the key, in my opinion, to growing an audience is people want consistency. They want know, like, and trust. They want to follow a channel that they know this person's going to post. Like, I don't know if you guys remember Jenna Marbles. She's like one of my favorite YouTubers.
No.
She puts out videos. If you guys follow Jenna Marbles, I mean, she is like one of the most followed YouTubers. So I'm sure a lot of you guys do, but her saying at the end of every video is like, we put out new videos every Wednesday/Thursday. Cause sometimes I'm late. Like that's what she always says, but you grow that friendship then with
like
her.
I should start saying that.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's funny. And you're like, oh yeah, every Wednesday/Thursday, I'm going to go check out her new episode. So yeah. Consistency is key for sure.
Yes. All right. So I love how you have us thinking about what is the one, but like, okay, but maybe if you're not sure which one is the one, maybe Facebook group is the one because there's so much opportunity there. I know you have a Pinterest strategy though, that is intriguing. Who should yes. be paying attention to Pinterest? Like when should, yeah. and do you, and here's, I guess here's a better question. Do you consider Pinterest to be one of those channels? Like, does that work with Facebook group? Is it either or? Is it an and scenario?
So I believe Pinterest is good once you're putting out consistent content. That is when you should add Pinterest to be a promotional limb of your content strategy. So for example, if you are consistently putting out blog posts, then you can consider adding Pinterest. And I'll talk about how to do it in a second. If you are consistently putting out content on YouTube or blogging, or wherever you can be consistent.
Podcasting, maybe.
Podcasting, yes, thank you. That's perfect. Then once you're doing that consistently and you have everything like SOP'd, standard operating procedure, then you can consider like adding Pinterest. So the Pinterest literally is a search engine. And I don't remember the stats as of recently, but last time I heard it, I believe Pinterest was like 80% women. So if your business is mainly for men, then I probably wouldn't waste my time on Pinterest. But just, you know, do some research and see, like, ask yourself this question, is my ideal client on Pinterest? So if they are, the best way to grow your Pinterest, not just following, but the amount of people that, you know, the traffic that comes from Pinterest. So number one, Pinterest is a search engine. So you want to pin things with that in mind. So, you know, think about what are people going to type into Pinterest? Like what to make for dinner or how to start a business. You know what I mean? They're going to type in different things. But with Pinterest, I think the most important tool on there is Pinterest groups. So what you want to do is start your Pinterest account and then, you know, pin some stuff, have fun with it. Just make your account, like look at other people's accounts that have been around for a while and have a lot of followers and see like what should your account look like. And then go and find some Pinterest groups that have to do with your niche and where your ideal clients are. So for me, I joined like female entrepreneurs groups, like girl boss groups, like these different groups, right? And how you join them is you search for them. And I think you can either click on groups. Otherwise, the groups have like a little circle that shows that there's like multiple pinners on that board. And like 9 times out of 10 at the top of the board, it will say, this board is owned by so-and-so, please email blah, 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 at blah, 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 if you'd like to be part of contributing to this board. So you just simply email them and you're like, this is why I want to be part of this board. I'll add some, you know, great stuff, X, Y, Z. But here's the cool thing about why you want to be on group boards. When you pin your pin to a group board, not only are your followers going to see that pin, but so is everyone else. So let's say there's like 10 other people in that group board. All of their followers are going to see it. So you're getting like a massive amount of traffic to the specific, you know, audience that you want to see it. So it's like incredibly targeted. And it has a massive amount of people that will see it all for free. So like Jacqueline was saying, if you have a podcast, you could, you know, instead of making just one pin, I would recommend you make 3 different pins that look different, that all promote to the same episode, and then pin those in a bunch of different places and sort of test and see like which pins do better. And the cool thing is you can keep recycling those pins. You can use social media apps like Tailwind to actually automatically repost your pins. So, I mean, I could talk about Pinterest forever, but those are like my top fire hose takeaways.
Yes, those are such good top fire hose takeaways. And thank you for clarifying too, that like, that's like, okay, get this content going first and then use that to amplify.
Yeah.
Like not, you know, it is a search engine and it's just a way to get that content you're already creating in front of more people, but it's not a substitution for, because clearly the content has to live somewhere.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. Okay. Now back to Facebook groups, because I do think this is the easiest way for most people to get started with growing this audience. Is there certain types of content that you're creating to get people into the Facebook group outside of this, or is there content that you recommend we create inside the group? I guess those are 2 different questions. Let's focus on, I really love this angle of building an audience that is for a new offer, right? So we're not just building an audience. This isn't just building an audience for any sake, right? Like the intent here is that you're building the audience for this new, you know, whether most people that are going to be doing this, right, already have a business or something. Or they're starting from scratch. So it's building that audience from scratch, like with this really specific intent. So is there specific content that you're creating to attract those people, or once they join, do you have them opt into something? Like, what does that piece look like?
Yeah. So first of all, I want to say that you can create a group for your business like I did. That's like how to create a profitable course, because that's what my business is about. Or if your business is bigger than that, like let's say, you know, you're an influencer and your business is like you and your brand and your name. And you're like, well, I'm not going to create a Facebook group called like the Molly group. You know what I mean? So what you could do then is you could think, how can I create a group around, like Jacqueline, you know, maybe you already have this, but she could have one around her podcast. Or like you said, you're really intrigued by how to start a group to like, for like a new product, right? And you could do just that. You could say like, oh, I want to launch, what's that recent product that you launched, Jacqueline?
Well, it's interesting that you say this. So my free Facebook group is called Becoming the Go-To Authority with Jacqueline Malone. And so, and I've changed the name many times over the years.
And
it's like new year, new Facebook group name. So I've changed it several times over the years. I used to use the word personal brand because I thought people were searching for that. But the clarity on becoming that go-to authority is just so, like, the people that want to do that, like, they're who we want in the go-to gal community, right? So I, instead of doing go-to gal, which is my own languaging, which is a word I made up, but we're just gonna, my own languaging around what that is, I use more of the language that they would use. I don't know how searchable that is with your strategy. That's okay. There.
What was your most recent? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
But I didn't get a ton of, when back when it had personal brand in it, I wasn't getting like floods of people that were searching for help with building a personal brand off of that, which is probably more of a search friendly term. But to your original question though, I am, and this will probably be in the past by the time we air this, but for my podcasting course with Farnoosh Jarabi, we are doing a pop-up Facebook group for a challenge we're doing together.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is for your product, you could create a group for that. Yeah,
totally. And you know, I don't think that we'll keep the group in between challenges, but I don't know, because maybe I don't
know. I was actually going to say you don't have to. Like I've seen a lot of people, they'll create the group for a challenge or a product launch or something like that, and then they'll archive it. And then if they do it again, they'll unarchive it. And that's totally fine, because one thing is, you know, running a Facebook group is such a great, powerful way to build an audience, but it is a lot of work to manage once you have a large group. Our group for our last company was over 25,000 people in our Facebook group. And, wow. You know, it just becomes a lot to manage. Like, I mean, we had to have somebody on our team manage that group full time. At one point, we actually had to make it so that we had to approve every single post, because there's so many posts being made. So, and I'm don't worry about that now. Like, if you're just starting, I mean, it's not like your group is going to get to 20,000 overnight. If it does, you should probably teach a course on that, because that's crazy. but yeah, my point is this: you can create a group around anything, and the more specific, the better. So if you can create it around a podcast or a product or like a specific thing that you're teaching, that is the best way. Like, so instead of me creating like the Molly group, I created like the course, you know, a group for course creators, more specific. What's interesting though, is with my last business, our group was for boudoir photographers. And, you know, there was so much posting, because people would post their photos for critique and people would post their studios. And there's just so many, like, it's photographers, they all have photos. So there's like a ton to post, right? Well, with our current group for course creators, they're all business owners that are already at six figures plus. And so they don't really necessarily have time to just be like sitting in a Facebook group all day. They're not posting photos for critique necessarily. So what's interesting is I felt like the vibe of the group is so different, yet the amount of people that we are converting into customers is actually even the same, if not, it's actually better with this business. But so anyways, my point is this: it's going to be different no matter what niche you're in, but don't feel like, you know, you have to, have this much interaction or that much interaction, or do what she does or he does or whatever. Like, you know, get specific on what you're going to use your group for. So again, you know, if you're using it for conversion, then just focus on that. And for me personally, like, that's why we chose a Facebook group to use to launch this new business with. We knew we could build the audience really quickly, form a relationship with them really quickly. So what we did was we grew the group. Then we started making posts. I did Facebook Lives. I did value posts with no call to action other than like leave a comment kind of thing. And then I started making a post once a week that said something along the lines of, you know, I'm looking for X people who want to add on a profitable course to their business to scale their business without trading more of their time for money. If that's you, comment yes. We share like the word for all these scripts and all that in my course, but I mean, that's really the gist of it. And basically people would comment and then you would PM them. Like, we would PM them and be like, oh, so you're interested in this thing. And they're like, yes. And I'm like, okay, do you mind if I ask you a few questions, see if you're a good fit? We qualify them and then we give them the opportunity to join the program. So we're basically selling through PMing. So it's kind of like a one-to-one sales strategy. That's how I recommend everyone should start with their course. But then we have more strategies that you start to tack on. Like I said, I'm not a launch person. It's just, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, I prefer to have sales like consistently all the time. So we start out with that and then we tack on other strategies that are like, I guess evergreen is sort of the popular word right now to use.
I love the simplicity of that. Yes. And I think what probably stops people is, well, and the fear all along the way, right? But like that putting that post out there, like, I'm looking for this comment, yes, and that fear of what if nobody comments, yes.
Oh, I don't care. I've had many posts where nobody comments. I just don't care.
I know that you don't care, but I'm sure that's one of the reasons. That's why you're having fast success. I think that is, like, if you
do. I mean, for those listening, you shouldn't care either. That's what I mean.
Yes, but it's easier said than done, but yeah, sometimes it's not. Like, just sometimes we can just choose not to think that, right? Like, what do we care? Because not having that fear, not having that thought, you take the action and that's where the results come from, right?
Totally.
Did you ever post that and nobody commented or just one person?
Like, so in the beginning, I think maybe, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think maybe one or two times I posted it and there was no comments on it. And so here's the thing. It doesn't mean that your post is bad if people don't comment on it. It probably most likely means, well, if you know the post is good, because here's the thing, this post is proven. I've used this in many businesses that I've had, so I know it works. So when nobody comments, I'm like, oh, this is just bad time to be posting this. So I actually will delete it. If you follow me on my personal Facebook, I do the same thing. I will post something, and if it doesn't get traction right away, I delete it because it's pointless. If your post doesn't get traction right away, Facebook will just stop showing it in the feed. If I post something and it doesn't get traction, I'll delete it and then try a different variation until it catches. I do that all the time. So with my group, same thing. If nobody comments, I will just delete the post. We use Meet Edgar to like automate our posts and stuff. I think we always get at least two comments. But if there was no one, I would just delete it. Try again.
Oh, so simple.
Yeah, easier so said actionable, than done, right?
Right? But it can be done. We just have to believe that it could just be that simple, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it sounds so woo-woo, but like it really comes down to confidence, because now that we're starting this business over, it's like, you know, how do I say this? This might sound like really, I haven't shared this anywhere, so it's not like hashed out really well, but let me just kind of blurt my thoughts out here. With our new business, it's like we were so clear on our strategy and we knew what worked because we've proven it to do it before. So we were only working, and still even now, we're really only working like 3-4 hours a day. And previously I would have thought, oh, I need to keep working. None of this is going to work. I need to work. Like, because I didn't have the proof and I didn't have the confidence, and I would work all the time. Oh my God, I pulled all nighters. Like, I thought like the more you work, the better it is. But the truth is, like, the better the strategy and the more confident you are and the more that you focus on that and just keep going with that. Like right now, we're actually working on getting our automated webinar going. We have a Facebook ads team that we hired, and we're working on that. That's like our next, you know, how I said I tack on strategies. So that's like our next wave that we're working on. Well, you know, we've been working from the day we said we were going to hire the agency till today. It's been like 2 to 3 weeks, and we just got our first ads out a couple days ago. And it's because we ran into a ton of setbacks. Like, we had a bunch of our ads get denied. We had our ads account get shut down. My point is this: Molly 5 years ago would have ran and would have been like, this isn't working. But Molly now is like, I know this works. I'm confident in this. I'm not going to work myself into the ground because that's not working. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to stick to the plan, and I'm going to focus. And I've just been sort of allowing myself to not stress about it. It's like, it will happen. This is the right way to do it. So I don't know, ramblings from my mind, but that's kind of what I've been thinking on a lot since my last business.
Yes. Well, there's so much gold here, because it's having that confidence to see it through to get the results. Because when we don't have that confidence, that's when, as soon as it's hard, as soon as it's vulnerable, as soon as we make a post and nobody comments, we make that mean nobody's interested, or I'm doing it wrong, or this doesn't work, and go off trying to find a different strategy, and effectively keep starting over and over and over again and splitting our efforts that way. But because you're so confident in, like, this is the plan, this is the path, you're able to just keep trudging, and that's where the results are coming from. And the cool thing about this is, and I've noticed this with myself in my own areas where I have it, that when you're clients or your students join your program, they're buying that confidence too, right?
I was just going to say that. I'm like, this is why courses work so well.
I took it away from you. Right. Totally. Because now you're able to confidently guide them. Like they're able to buy into that too.
And they're confident because they're like, this is a proven plan step by step. Exactly. This is so good. Good. Yeah. That's a great, thanks for sharing.
And for those of you listening who want to be, this is like a very meta experience, right? We want to be doing this. Like when you create your thing that you have this experience in and you know, the steps to take and all of that. And once you unpack that, you're able to do that for your people, right? Like it's just this, that's how we're able to, I think it's an undervalued or under talked about value of joining programs or buying courses or all of that, right? Because yeah, when you're trying to just figure it all out on your own, you really don't know. And it's easy to get swayed in all of the directions of all the shiny objects and shiny strategies.
Totally. And right? I was thinking too, when you were sharing that, I was like, also I think the reason everyone, when they're starting out, likes social media so much is because getting a like is instant gratification. Getting a comment is instant gratification. But the truth is that building a business is not building the real parts of a business. It's not always going to be instant gratification. Like if I can take several weeks that I'm not getting instant gratification to see it through and get an auto webinar working, that right there is the makings of a multi-million-dollar business. But if I'm so caught up with the next like, the next comment, that's, I'm not saying you shouldn't do social media. I'm just saying like, that's not like a pillar of, that's not the only thing that's going to make, you have to have, you know, consistent sales that are consistent automated sales that are not you doing. I don't know. Yeah. This could be a whole topic in itself, but.
Good. Well, we have to bring you back for that one. All of these pieces are coming together with me now, even the confidence, and we didn't really address this earlier, but even just having that confidence, that leap of faith to just go all in on the one offer. Mm. And that's something I really admire in you because I have not narrowed down to the one offer yet. I can't pick a child. I just can't pick a favorite. And
I get it. You know, when I picked one, I was the whole time thinking maybe I picked the wrong one. So I totally get it.
But with that, like, this is it. Because what I think a lot of people, what I have seen, and please feel free to elaborate, but just from my own perspective of what I've seen with you doing this, is if you were to, let's say, launch it, right, the traditional way or the way that we talk about. So, and you launch this course. Okay, great. Now you have your students. And now it's like, okay, what do I sell next? And then it's like creating something new, thinking of something new, marketing of something new. And it's almost more of a focus on selling different things to the same audience. Mm-hmm. Where your focus is on selling the same thing and just continually growing your audience, right? And that's where that magic, from the beginning. Yes. And the fact that you're doing it, we're doing it without ads. I realize you're now adding ads in, but like this is possible without ads.
Oh yeah. Everything I shared on here, by the way, was all without ads. We just started. So
yeah, but that's such a mindset flip, I think, for many people listening of like, okay, like what is the one thing and who's that audience and how do we keep growing that audience? And that's why I loved how you shared so much of the insides of how to do that today of like, how do we keep growing that? Because that's what it takes for you to really be able to focus on that one thing is to continually have new people coming in that are the right fit for that offer instead of constantly trying to think of new things to offer the same people.
Well, and that right there. So the pillars, in my opinion, of like a successful multi-million-dollar company is like, first you have to master growing an audience. Then you have to, or first you have to master automated traffic, like continual traffic. Then you have to master automated continual sales. But you're so right. What most people do, is, and I've done this, which is why I know it so well, is we'll, you know, like I said, I had a blog where for years I blogged free content, build this massive audience. And then I sold them different things. But I mean, how you can scale a lot faster again is like have that one thing that you're focused on, get it to 1 or 2 million, then you can add something else, but not like 50 different things. Like you could add like, you know, maybe your value letter should have like 3-4 things total. And trust me, like I said, we literally had at one point, I think it was 100 different products we had. Ebooks, templates, like But let me just share one more thing. One of my friends, his name's Dan Henry, he talks about this thing called the circle of focus, and it just really makes so much sense to me. But we all have a circle, right, that has the same 24 hours as everyone else. But if you are focusing, like, let's think of that circle as like a pie. If you're focusing one piece of the pie on the strategy for business one and the other piece of the pie for the strategy on business two and another piece for, you know, a podcast for one of the businesses and another piece for, you know, every social media and then taking care of your kids and taking care of the house, like, you get where I'm getting at. Like, it's so easy to get burnt out when you do that. But if you can just take that whole pie, obviously you still have to focus on like your kids and stuff, but like if you can make the main focus for your business, I know. yeah. Don't neglect your children, people. Okay. So
PSA. The asterisk there. Yes.
But yeah, if you can make your main focus, one thing, and let's say we're comparing to like old you or a competitor or whatever, and they're doing all these different things, it's like, well, who's going to have success the fastest? It's probably going to be like, and again, this is just my opinion. I'm obviously a big fan of focusing. So yeah. But yes. Hopefully the pie thing made a lot of sense to me. Hopefully it makes sense to you too.
It does. When you're able to really double down your efforts like that, it really is. All right. So much gold here today. Thank you so much, Molly. How can we stay in touch with you?
Thank you so much for having me. Always fun chatting with you. You can, you know, go to profitablecourses.com. We have lots of freebies there, ways to connect with me online through social, and a new podcast that's launching too. So thanks so much again for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.